We are back for the fourth segment of the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. Let's check in on the 4-2 White County Warriors. White County head coach Mark Frazier said that it was huge for his team's mental psyche to grind out such a hard-fought win Friday night in York heading into their bye week.
We're beat to death. We got all kind of injuries, and give us the chance to recharge our batteries. We've got Livingston in 2 weeks, but we're not going to do a lot with them this week. We're just going to try to get healthy. We're going to work on some fundamentals. We will go out there and practice helmets only a couple days, and just we'll work out and run and do some things. But the biggest thing is to recharge batteries for the coaches, have a little time off, get to hang out with your family a little bit. Kids, same way, give them a few afternoons off. So they get ready to come back the next week for the home stretch.
Something that I always found funny about a bye week is it's fun, it's enjoyable to get that time off, but you really do miss getting later in the week, getting ready for that next game and Friday night.
Well, you miss the excitement. That's why you coach and play, and that's, you hate to miss a game. But I tell you, I'm very excited to have it right now. We need it. We really had some guys get banged up Friday, and we've had some, along the way. Injuries are starting to pile up, so it came at an opportune time for us.
What else are you looking to do this week that needs a little improvement going into the rest of the year?
Well, I think our biggest thing that we've done poorly is our pass coverage has been poor. We've got a lot of fundamental issues there, and unfortunately the secondary coach is the one you're talking to, so I can't blame anybody but myself. We're going to go out and try to get a little bit better fundamentally, how we line up, how we do some things there. The rest of the stuff, as far as just cleaning up, a lot of mental work, try to make sure these guys understand why we're telling them to go where they're going. So that's the biggest thing. Just fundamentals and positioning and things like that secondary-wise is what we're aiming to do.
Coach, you hit on a little bit being down in the fourth quarter, but I know you had to have great confidence in your team's ability to come back and win that game.
Well, York played well, and I got a good coaching staff, and I thought we played well at times in certain areas. We had a lot of penalties and a lot of silly mistakes. Had a couple things. Had a 62-yard punt call back that would have changed the game, got us a better field position. So we did a lot of things that were uncharacteristic. But you're right. The previous games helped our kids realize that it wasn't over and to keep fighting. And then we finally hit a couple big plays there at the end to take the lead and get ahead. But it was important for them to realize that they could still win a game behind late in the fourth quarter, and I think the games before helped us do that.
Coach, your game against York Friday night was a lot closer than the final score indicated. You scored a late touchdown and then had a pick six to end the game, and you talked about them playing a good game anyway, but that was a really hard-fought win and a great win for your program.
Oh, it was, like I said, we were down with, 4 minutes to go, so it was definitely, the score is not an indicator of how York played, and like I said, they deserve a lot of credit. But, we ended up grinding it out. It was a very, like you said earlier, an important win, especially going into a bye week. Had a good throw from Cedric to Will Cheek for a long touchdown to give us the lead. We missed the extra point, then come back and get a drive and score with 6 seconds to go. So it was a hard-fought game, came down to the very end, and we just happened to get a cheapo one there at the end. Cedric made a good interception again to score as the horn sounded, but it was a lot closer than the score indicated.
Frazier said they're going to use the bye week to get healthy, but he knows on the other side of that bye is a daunting task in Livingston Academy. As it has for most of the year, Pickett County's lack of size came back to haunt them against Sell Creek. While he may have quicker players, head coach Ray Reagan says the size difference up front set the tone for the whole game.
He's running better routes. Seems like he can always find a way to get open. As long as Luke's got time to throw him the ball, he's going to be a threat.
We've talked a lot about Luke this season, and you've mentioned how much he's improved from last year to now. When he's had time to throw, just how good of a quarterback do you believe he is?
I believe he's in all honesty, and I've seen someone that's a better run threat than him. But as far as the passing game and understanding the game, he's grown leaps and bounds. From the start of the year last year to now, and he just keeps getting better and better and better. Yeah, I have no complaints at all about Luke. He leads the team. He sets a good example for everybody else.
You mentioned him being a good leader, and he mentioned the same when I talked to him earlier in the year. In what ways does he lead the team? Is he more of a lead? You said, is he more of a lead by example kind of guy?
Yes, he's a lead by example kind of guy. He's not overly vocal. He's always there. He's always working hard, listens to everything you tell him, and, kind of sets a good example for the rest of the kids. I've got a young team, and people like him that sets the example for the rest of them helps me a lot. So.
You may be catching Clay County at the right time this year as they're coming off their first loss of the season. Have you emphasized to your guys that you could maybe catch them on a hangover in this game, or has the message still kind of been more of the same?
It's stays the same. You know, I try to preach to them, we don't worry about our opponent, we worry about us. As long as we're taking care of ourselves and doing what we're supposed to do, it really doesn't matter who we're playing. We're fine. But when you get too caught up into who you're playing, especially when you got a young team, they can get intimidated. They can read more into it than what it is. They just need to worry about doing what they're supposed to do, and the rest will take care of itself.
So facing Jake Ashlock at quarterback this week, have you seen a lot of him that you're going to have to prepare for defensively?
He can throw the ball. He's got a big arm. We're going to have to cover and, you know, try to get to the quarterback. But, you know, if we stop their passing attack, they're more than capable of running it too. So we're just going to have to be solid in all phases and hope for the best.
4 games remaining on the schedule. What are your goals for this team to accomplish?
Just get better each and every week. Learn from what we've done wrong. Try to correct it. Keep playing as a team. We do that, the rest take care of itself. Like I said before, we can't get caught up in who we're playing, how good they are, how bad they are, or anything else. Control yourself before you can worry about anybody else.
Reagan said he is still happy with the effort that his team's giving. He said he wants them to improve each and every game for the rest of the season. We hope you'll join us for the fifth and final segment of the High School Playbook to see how Upperman, Clay, and Stowe Memorial head coaches think they'll fare this Friday night. We're back for segment 2 of the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. First up, Cumberland County head coach Eric Ballou. Ballou said that his offensive line had good pad level, good footwork, and fired off the ball well in Friday night's game against Walker Valley.
Well, I think the first thing with Jacob Gringa is that he runs extremely hard. He's a good athlete. Don't get me wrong. He's got great ball skills. He does a great job on both sides of the ball, but he runs really hard. He gets behind his pads. And our huge emphasis with our running backs is falling forwards. No matter what happens, we want to make sure we fall forward. And he's the type of guy that he's going to do that 9 out of 10 times. If you do that 10, 15 more times a game, that's 3 yards per carry more if you just fall forward as opposed to falling backwards.
You gave up fewer points than you had been given up. Defensively, what did your team do better on Friday?
Defensively, one thing, you know, we got some turnovers, which is a big thing, but we did have a difficult job, you know, handling a lot of their skill guys. They had some receivers that were just real speedy and had great ball skills or really athletic. We kind of struggled doing that. But the emphasis on the turnover part, going and attacking balls, we had a freshman, Colton Nichols, who got a turnover at a pivotal point in the game. We're really excited about that. So that's got to be a huge emphasis from this point on.
Coach, you're in year one, you're 6 weeks into the regular season now. What's been the biggest challenge thus far?
The biggest challenge probably is just creating a competitive culture. When you haven't won a lot of games and a lot of these kids haven't had much scoreboard success in their high school careers, it's just that hump is difficult to get over. It's hard to get kids to grasp how uncomfortable it is to win, how much it actually takes to be competitive and win games. I mean, the kids have done a good job improving, you know, just on my side, I have to do a better job of figuring out ways to pull that out of them.
What is the biggest single improvement you've seen in this team thus far?
Probably with that, the same thing being said, especially with the younger guys. Just for example of what I'm talking about, Grayson Hale is a sophomore linebacker who started the past 2 games for us, and he's pulling the trigger. He's stepping in and filling holes. When you see young kids buy in to something like that and they start playing like that all the time, that's what really excites you. And it really excites you that guys like him, and same thing with Connor Cox, who's a sophomore, guys like that are playing like that, and you know that they're coming back and have 1 or 2 more years left, and that's definitely the most exciting part.
So you've got Rockwood at home. What do you know about them that you're going to have to prepare for?
We know that they're a hard-nosed program. They run wing tee. They run it well. So we're going to have to do a good job of knowing our role on defense, and especially on the offensive side of the ball. We've got to focus on, you know, what I talked about, what we had success with last Friday, is moving our feet, getting our pad level down, and establishing a lot of scrimmage.
Being on a bye week, how important is it to keep the kids focused that even though you don't have a game, you've still got to work, you've still got to put in a lot of effort just to prepare?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is the body language of your coaches. You can never coach like there's a bye week. We'll do a lot more individual, getting better at what we do this week. So, you know, I think it's all dictated on, you know, their focus will be dictated and reflective of how we coach.
Ballou said the Jets will spend their bye week practice focused on individual position groups and their fundamentals.
With a playoff position on the line, Cookeville High School head coach Jimmy Maynard said this week's game against Warren County may be their most important of the year.
But first, let's hear what Maynard had to say about B.J. Billen's punt return against Coffee County.
We felt like going into that game, if we could catch the punt and get her block secured, I told them during the week, I think we have an opportunity to return a punt for a touchdown, and made a couple of people miss and made a good run and got us on the scoreboard early, which, you know, BJ's got some elusiveness to him, and he can make big plays.
And Evan Whitehead obviously had a really big night rushing.
I was. Jacob Stamps sustained a shoulder injury, and he's probably going to be not with us for a couple of 3 weeks or something. Not sure of the extent of that right now. Evan was able to come in, and they had been very susceptible to sweeps and outside run plays in every game that we had seen, and they were not going to let us do that in that particular game, and that was kind of our game plan. So we had to run off tackle a little bit with power and counter, and it opened up really big, and Evan was able to, and he's a young kid, he's a sophomore, and a good runner. He's got some pretty good speed, and just kind of, you know, things opened up well for him, and he was able to get in the end zone. And of course, Stockton, you know, I think he, our quarterback, he was able to run for about 145 yards too. So we had two big nights rushing with our tailback and our quarterback.
Coach, you touch on Warren County's offense a little bit. They run what Coach Turner down there calls the pistol wing.
This is not your typical Warren County football team, I'll tell you that. Their quarterback is a dynamic player, probably the most dynamic player we've faced thus far. And they've got some, you know, their wings are kids that they're not real big, but they're kids that's got some, that has speed, and they're dangerous on their jet sweep stuff. And then the big back in the backfield is, you know, runs the belly and the dive up in there and ISO, and they runs it really hard.
Coach, you really didn't throw the ball much against Coffee County. Was that kind of just a game plan decision?
We'll do whatever the defense is going to allow. We didn't need to throw the ball. We were able, and our offense, our defense was having a hard time getting, you know, getting off the field too. So we wanted to make sure that we, you know, ran the football, and we rushed for 398 yards. You know, when you're doing that, there's really not much sense in trying to throw the ball. Able to run the football and score touchdowns pretty.
Maynard stressed the importance of being able to make adjustments on the fly mid-game. He said he was happy with the way his offense adjusted in their 41-14 win over Coffee County last Friday night.
Next, we will hear from the number 7th-ranked Livingston Academy Wildcats and the Jackson County Blue Devils. First up, on this segment of the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Bar Builders, Bruce Lamb of Livingston Academy. Lamb said he looks forward to the competitiveness that each and every Friday night brings.
Yeah, Nate on the opening kickoff had returned, and he gave a super effort and drug a couple players, but he also got his ankle turned a little, and so we took him out. And probably could have played. He's a tough young man, but we decided to keep him out and let Caleb go. And Caleb is a really good backup running back. I mean, as he showed last Friday night, he brings a different dimension than what Nate does, and it's nice to have those. And
we talk about this a lot, and they get a lot of pub, but your offensive skill sets at wide receiver really puts defenses in a bind.
It's very tough. It's almost like kind of like you got to pick your poison when you got Wesley and Aubrey, and, you know, they're playing really well right now. Two seniors that have really stepped their game up, and then the two underclassmen with Raven Carpenter and Brian Mosley. You know, those guys right there can do the same thing. So we have an added dimension there that you really don't see on a lot of teams of our caliber.
We harp on Will McDonald, too, every week, but he is just consistent, you know, day in, day out.
Well, it does make you feel a lot more confident going into the game because, like you say, he's a senior and he's been in there since day one of his freshman year. And you see the work that he has put in, and you know that you're going to get the best out of Will every game. Nowhere near perfect, and he'll tell you that, and there's a lot of things he could do better. Just knowing that he's going in there and he's going to be your starting quarterback gives you a great comfort zone to have.
All right, Coach, let's look forward to DeKalb County. They've played a lot better after their first 2 weeks, just in the ball security standpoint. They're playing good football, just put it on the ground and put it in the hands of the other teams.
Well, they're really good. They're very talented. They have a lot of athletes on the outside. Quarterback does a great job of scrambling when he gets pressure and moves around the pocket quite a bit. And they have some really good sized linemen up front. So, you know, they're definitely going to be tough to stop, and our kids will have to play really well to stop them. We just hope we can slow them down a little bit because they are playing really well right now. And if we can slow them down, maybe we can score some more points, and hopefully we can. And their defense is actually a lot better than it has been in the past few years. So they really get after you. And
Lamb said state rankings don't amount to much if they aren't able to secure a big region win against DeKalb County this Friday night in Livingston. Jackson County head coach Sean Loftus said the game against Monterey Friday night was much closer than the final score indicated.
Yeah, that's the first time I think I've ever in my coaching career witnessed you know, back-to-back, you know, Monterey come out and scored on their first offensive play. Well, we come back and score on our first offensive play, and then a couple plays later they score. Well, then we come back and score two plays later, and it was just, you know, an extremely, you know, words can't put it to can't explain that. But I was really proud of, you know, again, our execution there early on. I mean, I think we gave, you know, Monterey maybe a couple of looks that that they've not seen all year. But, you know, when it came down to it, you know, our kids had, you know, had to execute the play. And, you know, and they really did there early on. And, you know, I was proud of them for that.
Coach, I was really impressed with how you shut down Monterey's inside run game. Your front seven played really solid against the inside run. How did you think your defensive line played specifically?
We kind of challenged them last week because we knew we were going to have to, you know, first of all, you know, Monterey wants to stop the run, but then again, they also, you know, they can throw the ball out there on the quick screens and do some RPOs type, you know, stuff to you. So, you know, but all in all, I mean, Coach Hughes, I mean, they want to run the ball. You know, we were really, really onto our defensive front seven on and really trying to make them, you know, play low because we know that Monterey's, you know, a strong physical team. But I was really pleased. It's probably the best that we played for four quarters up front. I mean, we've showed spurts that we could do it, but, you know, for everybody, you know, playing for four quarters, I mean, I was really pleased with, other than, you know, there are one or two times we lost contain on the quarterback or we flew out of there on the jet sweep and letting the quarterback keep the ball. You know, again, that was a new look with him keeping it. We really hadn't seen. We saw them, you know, run the jet sweep with a receiver several times. But, you know, our linebackers, we talked to them about slow playing from the quarterback to the receiver. And, you know, we just got caught up in the game. And the first play of the game, you know, they ran that jet fake and the quarterback kept it on the read, you know, and our linebacker flew out of there, our playside linebacker and our backside linebacker, you know, got blocked. But however, you know, as far as like them lining up and running the inside zone, you know, like they've done on everybody else, I mean, I was really pleased with how, you know, our front seven had played them.
Coach, you scheduled another Wing T team this week. You've played half your games against that kind of offense. That's got to at least give you some confidence this week.
Of all the teams that we have played, it's like everybody just seems to like this type of offense. You know, it does give us some familiarity and we know what to expect. I mean, they're a little bit different than most teams because that we played. I mean, this, you know, Cascade has a very large physical fullback and they're going to get in a variety of different sets. They'll give us some wing T sets. They'll get in an I with a wing and they'll get into just some heavy sets to where they'll have an unbalanced line or even get into an alignment where they have eight linemen on the line of scrimmage. So they're going to give us a variety of different formations that we have to prepare for, along with, you know, getting into some spread sets, into some empty sets. That's the thing, I guess, that's the most concerning against them is you have to kind of be ready for anything from, you know, some of those heavy sets to the empty sets, and everybody just got to get a line and know what their job is, you know, and sometimes alignment is 90% of getting the job done, because if you're misaligned, you know, they could break off an explosion play that could change the momentum of the ball game. And so we just got to get aligned, we've got to read our keys, and then, you know, everybody's got to do their job come Friday night.
Loftus pointed out that the Blue Devils are still a little banged up, but he hopes to get some of those guys back over the next few weeks. In the fourth segment, we'll hear how White County head coach Mark Frazier plans to use his bye week and how Pickett County head coach Ray Reagan plans to attack Clay County's potent offense. We are back for the fourth segment of the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. Let's check in on the 4-2 White County Warriors. White County head coach Mark Frazier said that it was huge for his team's mental psyche to grind out such a hard-fought win Friday night in York heading into their bye week.
We're beat to death. We've got all kind of injuries, and, you know, give us a chance to recharge our batteries. We've got Livingston in 2 weeks, but we're not going to do a lot with them this week. We're just going to try to get healthy. We're going to work on some fundamentals. We will go out there and practice helmets only a couple days and just, you know, we'll work out and run and do some things. But the biggest thing is to recharge batteries for the coaches, have a little time off, get to hang out with your family a little bit. Kids, same way, you know, give them a few afternoons off. So they get ready to come back the next week for the home stretch.
Something that I always found funny about a bye week is it's fun, it's enjoyable to get that time off, but you really do miss getting later in the week, getting ready for that next game and Friday night.
Well, you miss the excitement. That's why you coach and play, and that's, you know, you hate to miss a game. But I tell you, I'm very excited to have it right now. We need it. We really had some guys get banged up Friday, and we've had some, you know, along the way. Injuries are starting to pile up, so it came at an opportune time for us.
What else are you looking to do this week that needs a little improvement going into the rest of the year?
Well, I think our biggest thing that we've done poorly is our pass coverage has been poor. We've got a lot of fundamental issues there, and unfortunately, the secondary coach is the one you're talking to, so I can't blame anybody but myself. We're going to go out and try to get a little bit better fundamentally, how we line up, how we do some things there. The rest of the stuff, you know, as far as just cleaning up, a lot of mental work, try to make sure these guys understand why we're telling them to go where they're going. So that's the biggest thing. Just fundamentals and you know, positioning and things like that secondary wise is what we're aiming to do.
Coach, you hit on a little bit being down in the fourth quarter, but I know you had to have great confidence in your team's ability to come back and win that game.
Well, York played well, and I got a good coaching staff, and I thought we played well at times in certain areas. We had a lot of penalties and a lot of silly mistakes. Had a couple things. Had a 62-yard punt called back that would have changed the game, got us a better field position. So we did a lot of things that were uncharacteristic, but I you're right. You know, the previous games helped our kids realize that it wasn't over and to keep, you know, keep fighting, and then we finally hit a couple big plays there at the end to take the lead and get ahead. But it was important for them to realize that they could still win a game behind late in the fourth quarter, and I think the games before helped us do that.
Coach, your game against York Friday night was a lot closer than the final score indicated. You scored a late touchdown and then had a pick six to end the game, and you talked about them playing a good game anyway, but that was a really hard-fought win and a great win for your program.
Oh, it was, you know, like I said, we were down with, I think, 4 minutes to go, so it was definitely, the score is not an indicator of how York played, and like I said, they deserve a lot of credit. But, you know, we ended up grinding it out. It was a very, like you said earlier, an important win, especially going into a bye week. Had a good throw from Cedric to Will Teague for a long touchdown to give us the lead. We missed the extra point, then come back and get a drive and score with 6 seconds to go. So it was a hard-fought game, came down to the very end, and we just happened to get a cheapo one there at the end. Cedric made a good interception again to score as the horn sounded, but it was a lot closer than the score indicated.
Frazier said they're going to use the bye week to get healthy, but he knows on the other side of that bye is a daunting task in Livingston Academy. As it has for most of the year, Pickett County's lack of size came back to haunt them against Sell Creek. While he may have quicker players, head coach Ray Reagan says the size difference up front set the tone for the whole game.
He's running better routes. Seems like he can always find a way to get open. As long as Luke's got time to throw him the ball, he's going to be a threat.
And we've talked a lot about Luke this season, and you've mentioned, you know, how much he's improved from, you know, last year to now. When he's had time to throw, just how good of a quarterback do you believe he is?
I believe he's, you know, in all honesty, and I've seen Simone that's a better run threat than him, but as far as the passing game and understanding the game, he's grown leaps and bounds, you know, from the start of the year last year to now, and he just keeps getting better and better and better. Yeah, I have no complaints at all about Luke. He leads the team. He sets a good example for everybody else.
You mentioned him being a good leader, and he mentioned the same when I talked to him earlier in the year. In what ways does he lead the team? Is he more of a lead? You said, is he more of a lead by example kind of guy?
Yes, he's a lead by example kind of guy. He's not overly vocal. He's always there. He's always working hard, listens to everything you tell him, and, you know, kind of sets a good example for the rest of the kids. You know, I've got a young team, and people like him that sets the example for the rest of them helps me a lot. So.
You may be catching Clay County at the right time this year as they're coming off their first loss of the season. Have you emphasized to your guys that you can maybe catch them on a hangover in this game, or has the message still kind of been more of the same?
It stays the same. You know, I try to preach to them, we don't worry about our opponent, we worry about us. As long as we're taking care of ourselves and doing what we're supposed to do, it really doesn't matter who we're playing, we're fine. But when you get too caught up into who you're playing, especially when you got a young team, they can get intimidated, they can read more into it than what it is. They just need to worry about doing what they're supposed to do, and the rest will take care of itself.
So facing Jake Ashlock at quarterback this week, have you seen a lot of him that you're going to have to prepare for defensively?
He can throw the ball. He's got a big arm. We're going to have to cover and, you know, try to get to the quarterback. But, you know, if we stop their passing attack, they're more than capable of running it too. So we're just going to have to be solid in all phases and hope for the best.
4 games remaining on the schedule. What are your goals for this team to accomplish?
Just get better each and every week. Learn from what we've done wrong, try to correct it, keep playing as a team. We do that, the rest take care of itself. Like I've said before, we can't get caught up in who we're playing, how good they are, how bad they are, or anything else. Control yourself before you can worry about anybody else.
Reagan said he is still happy with the effort that his team's giving. He said he wants them to improve each and every game for the rest of the season. We hope you'll join us for the 5th and final segment of the High School Playbook to see how Upperman, Clay, and Stone Memorial head coaches think they'll fare this Friday night. And just like that, the final segment of Week 7's High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. Upperman head coach Adam Kane said, so far so good with his team's performance on the road this year.
They're very committed to the power, you know, just pulling the guard and kicking out, and about every third or fourth play is going to be a power to the tight end. It kind of gives you a good idea of what their program's about. You know, they take a lot of pride in being tough and physical, and they do a good job of it. Really make you commit to playing that style of football. And if you're not 100% committed to getting in there and getting tough and stopping those plays, those power run plays, then they're going to have a great deal of success to you. So it's like a mental thing. And Coach Wright does a good job of you always know going into that game that it's going to be a physical football game. And you've got to get a mindset to hang in there for 4 quarters with them, or you're going to get blown off the field.
How important is it for you guys offensively to make the most out of each and every one of your possessions?
That's for sure. And they're going to get some clock, so it does limit your possessions. Offensively, we've got to do a better job when we get the ball. We've done okay moving it, getting first downs, but we've got to get the ball in the end zone. So that's kind of been an emphasis for us this week, you know, opening up, trying to throw the ball downfield a little bit better, getting some confidence in our receivers, you know, in our passing game. And then we're going to try to get, you know, our quarterback loose. We're a power run team as well, so we're going to try to establish our power run game. And hopefully we can get clicking on all 3 of those aspects of offensively. But we just got to quit sputtering out in the red zone.
You never trailed Friday night against Oneida, winning 25-6. It was a much closer game than that late in the fourth quarter, but that was a really good win against a quality opponent.
Yeah, absolutely. I was very proud of the win. Heard all week about the environment it was going to be and how well coached they were and how tough physical they were. And they fit that bill, maybe even more so. And so, you know, we realized pretty early on that we were in for a dog fight. And our guys met the challenge. We could have extended the lead there, got the ball inside the 3-yard line, and give them credit. They came storming back, got a touchdown on the board, and for sure it was a 1-score game, and they had the ball. So it was a lot closer than 25-6. But our defense bowed up and got a sack or two there and got the ball back, and we were able to extend that lead.
Kane's defense allows 6.5 points a game on the season right now. He says he's pleased with how hard they play and their tackling for the most part. Clay County lost their first game of the year Friday night to Westmoreland. According to head coach Jake Johnson, it was a struggle on both sides of the ball.
Well, you know, there's a couple things we could have done better as far as execution goes. However, Westmoreland is a traditionally strong program. Anytime you move up in classifications and play up, you risk things like that.
It's the first time this season that your defense has allowed multiple scores in a game. What did they do that made them so successful?
You know, we didn't help our defense out. For sure. I mean, we had a lot of 3-and-outs. The more time you keep your defense on the field, you know, the more likely they are to give.
So what were some of the positives that you came away with from this game?
Well, it was our effort. You know, I feel like our kids they never really gave up. Like I said before, you know, execution things, we need to get better. But, you know, until late in the game, you know, it was a 1-2-point game. So, I'm proud of how they played and their effort. Just a few things we need to clean up going in the future.
So how important is it to refocus this team and emphasize that it's only a single loss and that your destiny is still pretty much in your control still?
Yeah, it is tough. You know, we've got a bunch of guys that don't necessarily enjoy losing, which is a great thing. You know, we're winners. We work hard. However, that's something we got to stress. At the end of the day, you know, it is a loss. You want to win them all. But it's a non-region game. You know, as far as the things that we want to accomplish, you know, they're still available to us down the road.
Yeah, Pickett County this week, and teams have been really successful this season against them just by getting off to quick starts. Is that the key to this Friday?
Absolutely. And, you know, our guys are hungry. They're fired up, especially after that loss, that tight game against Westmoreland. But, you know, it's just getting back to basics. You know, anybody, regardless of record, can give you problems if you don't get out and handle business. And that's something we've really, really been trying to emphasize this week.
So not just this week, but for the rest of the season, what's the key to coming back from this loss and continuing your winning ways throughout the rest of the regular season?
Well, you know, once again, it was a hard-fought game, but at the same time, you tend to lose, or you tend to learn more from your losses than do your wins. You know, losing is never a good thing. However, sometimes it's nice to be reminded, I guess, of that, so you know how good winning feels.
Coach Johnson said his team will have to refocus quickly if they want to win this Friday night. He also said that they still control their own destiny when it comes to the playoffs. The scoreboard didn't end up in their favor Friday night against Kingston, but head coach Derek Samber said he liked the effort he saw from the kids from Stone Memorial, but the little mistakes continued to pile up.
Did a lot of good things. I think we were the better team for good stretches of the ball game, but beat ourselves and stuff after the whistle and three turnovers.
You had a lot of success running the ball, and two players finished with over 100 yards. Was that just good vision or good running by the running backs or superb O-line play?
All the above. Offensive line did a great job. Zach Street, the senior running back, we've got back. And another one, I believe, was our quarterback, Brian Carter, did a good job running the football, getting what he can. So certainly a combination of both. But when you have more than one guy doing it, it certainly shows that your offensive line is doing a good job.
And you've mentioned your quarterback before. I know he's a young guy. What do you think right now at this stage in his development, what does he need to do better for the passing game to kind of be more efficient to balance out that with the running game?
You know, we talked a lot about protecting the football. And he's a sophomore. He's a young kid. Kind of been a theme for the season with some of our youth, but he's a guy that's having to make JV mistakes on Friday night. He should still be playing JV football for us. He's out there on Friday night. As far as what he can do in the passing game, he certainly studies. He's getting better with every practice. It's just protecting the football, making the right decisions.
And we've mentioned before how young this team is. At this point in the year, six games in, what kind of strides and improvements have you seen from them so far?
You know, a ton, individually and collectively. But there are a lot of kids that I've seen. It's funny watching a week one film, and then we just wrapped up week six, and they look like different kids. Quincy Hunter, sophomore receiver, jumps out. He is a different kid catching the football. He's a different kid after the catch, and he's a different kid blocking in the run game than he was week one. So, you know, a ton of strides, understanding schemes, and then just executing our technique. Ton of strides from individuals, and then as a collective group, I think we're really starting to play competitive football and winning football at times. We just got to eliminate mistakes.
Four games left. What are the goals you've kind of laid out for this team to accomplish by the end of the year?
You can't entirely eliminate the big picture, but we're worried about Macon County, and we're worried about Wednesday practice. We're worried about getting better in Wednesday's practice, bringing effort, attitude, and focus to every drill that we do today. So we want to get a day better today and then hopefully not beat ourselves this Friday night, and we certainly can only take care of it one game at a time.
So speaking of Macon County this week, what do you know about them? What kind of offensive threats they have?
Good football team. They got a lot of offensive threats. A lot of kids back from last year. Senior quarterback, not sure of his name, number three. A couple good running backs. I think number two is kind of the one they want to get the ball to. And then 89, the big tight end receiver kid that, heck, he could certainly play for us. He's a good athlete.
With four games left in the year, Samber maintained that his focus is day-to-day improvement. They'll get a chance to do that on Friday night when they play Macon County. Thank you for joining us this week on the High School Playbook. Be sure to log on Saturday morning to ucsportsnation.com for video highlights, photo galleries, game recaps, and stats. ucsportsnation.com, driven by East Tennessee Dodge.